Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jonathan Alexander.
Here.
Christian Beck.
2.5 days.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Lydia Brisson.
I'm not sending them out.
Sharon Brown.
I am here.
Sandy Child.
I can't send them out. They're
Roberta Eidman.
Here.
Leslie Fox.
Here.
Charles Fredericks. Charles Fredericks.
He's here.
He's here somewhere.
I need coffee.
Need donuts.
Mariana Gladney. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Tashver Greenwald. Steve Kaiser.
Here.
And Maggie Lafitla. Ali Lexa.
He's absent.
Excuse.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Reza Poor.
Here.
Steve Pride.
Oh, honey.
Dorothy Wright.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Mansoor Sabah.
Hazir with a shot of vodka.
Fernando Velasquez. Barbara Marva.
Cheers.
No.
Roll call has been taken.
Quorum
has been met.
Quorum has been met. Great. Thank you, Mrs. Secretary.
Point of order. There were a few excused absences.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Next point of order, excused absence.
I'm sorry.
Before we do that, let me take the time to welcome the community members who've shown up today. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you. We always appreciate you guys coming out to the meetings and supporting us. I just wanted to acknowledge you all and say thank you. All right, let's move on. Excuse
absence
request.
Maggie
Lafitte
and...
Wait, what?
He said moving to accept the request.
Second.
Well, first we have to
say...
Who
are you?
Oh. Ali, Lexa, and Maggie Lafitte.
Ali and Maggie, that's it?
Yes.
And Leslie Radford.
And Radford.
Leslie.
Okay, so we have three.
Okay.
All right, Michael, you're up.
That was it. I was going to accept the request.
Second.
Vader? Any objections? No? Good. All right, let's move on. Ground rules for communication. Yeah. We all know how to behave. Wonderful. Okay, and next. And they're posted in the designated areas.
Colored.
If you find that you're starting to get tense or just not sure how to behave in a public setting, teach things, read it, give it a read if you do, have questions, let us know. I'm not gonna go through that. Next order of business, designated timekeepers. We'll all volunteer at once, but what do we have?
Segments.
Category.
I'll do the individuals.
Individuals, okay. Mansoor and Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it. What?
And Charles Frederick is back.
Report out reason for the preceding closed LSD meeting.
The summary?
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to report out?
Yeah. Ms. Secretary, please.
We had a closed session to discuss confidential personnel matters, and we also postponed the
leading
program director search. So that's the report.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's why the doors were locked this morning, guys. Sorry. But thank you, Mr. Secretary. Appreciate it. Next order of business, June LSB minutes approval. And people have a copy of the minutes that was distributed to... June or July?
July.
July?
Yeah.
Okay, July. So July LSP minutes approval. Everyone should have had them. Oh, I'm sorry. Mike and then Myla.
Yeah, I'd like to amend the minutes to strike the commentary in item 6 about public comment. I'm sorry, item 4 about public comment.
Mr. Secretary?
Yes.
Do you find that?
Yeah. Motion with cause.
You want to strike all of 4?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to strike the 2 paragraphs under public comment.
Quite a personal privilege. Could you speak louder and slower?
Yes, my motion is to strike the 2 paragraphs under item 4 in the July minutes, public comments, number 1.
July or June?
What page is it?
It's July.
July.
Page 7
of your package.
Page 7.
Roman numeral 4, public comments. I want to strike the 2
paragraphs. There's a description
of... Yeah, that should be there. No. Yeah. Okay.
Only motion.
Yeah. Okay. Myla, I think... Yeah, what's your comment?
Well, first of all, I'd like a minute to just review this to make a decision about whether or not to strike it. But I just wanted to commend our secretary for providing us with such detailed and great minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. You always do.
Yes. Okay, that was it.
So I'd just like a moment to review this.
I'm sorry.
To make a decision about whether or not to strike it.
And that's page 7.
Point of information.
Item 4.
Why do you move to strike this?
Because it doesn't
mean it. I don't think that commentary belongs in the minutes.
Well, what's the reason?
Are a report of the business of the body.
Yes.
Public comments in general are not recorded, and certainly okay. Not commentary about what happened during the public comments.
Thank you, Michael. Grace, and then Charles, and Mentor, I think. I don't know if you have your hand up.
Okay, I witnessed this. It is correct. And I think we did pass a motion on decorum. And this should be in the record in case in the future we want to censor this gentleman, Jose Benavides, because this is was offensive to myself and to Jamie. When it occurred, and it should be in the record if a similar occurrence happens in the future. I understand that the minutes per Robert's Rules should mainly be composed of motions. However, Robert's Rules also says that reports for disciplinary purposes need to be included because they may need to be acted upon. So I think that this should remain in here.
Charles, and then
Pursuant to our decorum motion, the individual should have been chastised from the chair and given a warning. Did you give him a warning?
I wasn't here.
Roberta was the chair.
I believe so, and demanded it stop, and it just sort of...
Okay, that should be reflected in this. And because the incident was so disruptive to the business of the board, I do believe it has a place in the minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It says that he wasn't instructed by the chair.
Dorothy? I'm sorry, it was
Metro and Dorothy. I want to... Mark, which sections are you talking about? Is number 5
seven,
and 6?
Page 7.
Number 4, public comments, 2 paragraphs under the header.
I want to say I disagree with that too, because of these are matter of records and they need to stay as the records. So.
Point of
Dorothy.
I was there, and I would like to see our decorum thing modified to where the general was standing behind where Grace is right now. He was filming. This, we are one body of supposed a community here. If somebody wants to go 3 or 4 feet past this perimeter thing that we have set up at the end of the horseshoe to facilitate filming, I don't see why. He was not. Nobody was disturbed about it. He stood there for five minutes or so until somebody said to him to move, and that's when the whole disruption started. If he had been allowed to just stand there and film, he was minding his own business, the meeting could have continued and everything would have been fine. I just don't see. And then it became very, very disruptive because the gentleman who was filming was challenged. The same thing has happened over and over again. It's happened to Myla. It's happened to other people. We need to make some kind of a ruling about filming, that we can make an accommodation for people who want to film quietly and non-violently here.
We have.
So,
who can? Myla, Sandy, Charles.
I had a point of
view. Can Myla, Sandy,
I had a point of
order. That was a Dallas.
The point of order is, since we have a limited time, we should not be repeating close variations of what other people have said. Because it has gotten to the point where everybody is just, saying...
I'm not repeating anything.
No, I'm just saying, in general, let's just try to be cognizant. If somebody says something that you... some variation of what you wanted to say...
How come we
pass? And I would also like to ask the chair to commence a policy or recommence a policy of taking like 2 in favor and 2 opposed, and then moving the agenda so that we don't waste all of our time on the first few minutes of the agenda, whatever they
have.
We have 2 minutes left for this segment. We're with Ken, Myla, Sandy, and Charles.
Okay. Ken, Myla, Sandy, Charles. Ken?
I'm jam spirit. I don't want to get up and start.
Okay.
Let's vote.
Myla?
I just want to say I think that we should change policy and governance and move on, and I'd like to call the question on whether or not to remove item 4 if it has in fact been seconded.
Was it seconded?
Second.
Okay.
Remove 2 paragraphs
any?
Under item 4.
Okay, item 4. So all those in favor?
To remove.
Okay, so state it so everyone understands.
All in favor of removing the recording of the incident under public comments? Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Abstentions? 1 abstention.
All right. Well, I'd like to move that we accept the minutes.
Second.
Anyone opposed to accepting the minutes as written? 1, 2, 3. All in favor of accepting the minutes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
You're missing Dorothy again. That's sorry. Dorothy, you got to raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Any abstentions? 1, 2 abstentions.
Yes, 10 minutes.
All right. Next item, G, set time certain to adjourn. Do I hear a motion?
2 o'clock sharp.
Second. Any opposition? All right. That concludes the motion passes. Agenda approval, item so moved. H. Any opposition? Motion carries. General manager's report. There is, I believe she's out today. She's absent. So there were, I believe, Jamie, did we distribute the via email the GM report?
The GM report was distributed by email.
By email?
To my email list.
So.
What
did you have? I got a copy of it. We don't have copies here today.
I believe I received it.
I know I received a copy. So.
Or could have been
Does anyone have copies of the GM report?
I did bring one. If somebody wants to find a way to make photocopies, you're welcome to use this. In fact, it would be helpful if when we get things that we did make our own copies for the backup data.
Okay, so it was distributed electronically, so everyone can have a copy of the GM's report. Can I record a copy? I can just do a quick summary of the report. They've posted the openings for the business manager and program director's position. They have confirmed a job description for the chief engineer with National Technical Director, and we'll be posting that shortly. They have seven supervisory employees have completed the AD 1825 and AD 2053 training. Four remain to take that training. Continue to work toward a union settlement, which may be a matter of days away. The 15-day mini fund drive has opened well with an average of $25,000 over the first 3 days.
That's per day, by the way. Per day.
Okay. And she wants to thank, I guess, several of you guys or many of the LSB members have been volunteering the phone room. So thank you very much for volunteering and coming out to help with the fund drive. We're current on our bank reconciliations and are completing the first set of auditors' requests for financial year 15. Outstanding premiums. You have a payables report current as of today that now includes the most recent estimate of outstanding premiums.
What is that? Do you have a number?
For comparison to last month's payables, when the estimated premium expenses are removed, the total outstanding is $365,000 approximately. We haven't received an income statement from the National Office for July. Maybe when Fred does the treasurer report, he can give us more insight into the financials. We'll have spent over $12,000 on premiums in August and anticipate spending $3,000 more.
How much? I'm sorry.
$12,000 of premiums in August, and anticipate.
We start with the.
We have spent over $12,000 on premiums in August, and anticipate spending $3,000 more by month's end. We've completed one director's inspection and have completed most of a second. The current operating bank account balance is $71,000 approximately, and we have $50,000 for general operations in the savings account, and that's pretty much it. Thank you. So we'll receive the GM's report and note that for filing. Next order of business, public
comment.
Well, no questions and answers for the GM because I can't answer questions on her behalf. So we'll just move forward.
I'm sorry, I might have missed a couple things. Time certain, was that?
Time certain was 2 p.m. Yes.
Okay, and the proposed agenda was approved?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll open up for public comments. Just line up in the queue. And
good afternoon. I'm John, KPFK Lynch Responsible. And please call me when my time is up if I ramble. I was disappointed to hear that the PD search postponement motion was approved in executive session. I don't know why this was even offered in executive session. Executive session is for sensitive matters, financial matters, personnel matters. I don't know how PD search postponement relates to that. Or actually, I think I do. People want to postpone this process to prevent the possibility of certain people becoming program director. Okay, that's fine. Delaying things is an accepted parliamentary technique. I don't agree with it in this case, but it's acceptable. The plan seems to be to delay this process until we either have a new executive director or a new general manager, in which case the undesired potential program directors will probably not be chosen. All right, well, that's an acceptable technique, too, but I don't agree with it. If you don't want a certain person to be the program director, when their name comes up in the meeting, vote no. Okay? That's how you keep someone from becoming PD. When their name comes up, vote no. All right? And when the candidate in favor comes up, vote nay. Vote yes. And persuade other members of the committee to vote yes along with you. That's called democracy. Okay? And then live with the result. I don't think postponing PD serves any. And as for recording disturbances in the minutes, I think it's appropriate, but I would have made them much shorter.
5 seconds.
When I was secretary, I did include disturbances when the chair intervened. I said, the chair, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, y'all. I'm Bernie. Is this working? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have two short items. One is that I went to the KPFK.org website yesterday and noticed a complete change. Apparently, it's been completely revised. Do you all know that? It's all changed, and there is one section there called Manager's Reports, where she has posted at least for 6 months back every monthly report. So I expect that this report will be on the website, if not right now, pretty soon, so people can see it there. My second item has to do with online voting. Section 8 of this of your agenda here states something that's really not true. The sample ballot was put on the elections website yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before, but I just noticed it yesterday. I went there, and your information here in Section 8 says online voting begins August 15th. Well, that's not true, because online voting can only begin after you receive your paper ballot, because the URL for online voting appears at the bottom of your paper ballot, which also contains a PIN which authorizes you to do online voting. So you need to get that straight. Don't put out false information. And I would just say that the information that I just gave you should be on the elections website, and it's not. It should be out there in text. You shouldn't have to wait for your paper ballot to try to figure out how to do online voting. Thanks.
Great, thank you.
Hi, Bella DeSoto here. Thank you. I have this big binder since January. Since January, I've had this big binder for this, thank you, full of motions. Motions by this majority. Motions that contradict each other. Motions that did not go through committee. Motions that were sent back to be re-talked about and analyzed on committee. Motions that have no bearing on what Pacifica is about. Motions contradicting the bylaws. Motions contradicting the, in conflict with the mission statement. And today, we are nearing now September. And this is all a bunch of BS, as we know. And I, for years, have participated in every single committee. And I've been involved with Pacifica for many years. Why? Because I care about the mission. Yet, I have been denied membership in every single committee, and this is not the first time I say this, except the outreach committee, because this majority has not been able to infiltrate it. So I wanted to talk about, real quickly, that what is going on with the PD, I am in conflict with a search committee, yes or no, but the issue is that no PD can be hired before you have a new GM, and or if the GM is going to stay, that then a PD search needs to be going in place. And therefore, the GM and Lydia Berzon were hooked for $1,500. The station paid for it, and now we have this major conflict. And this should have been proposed to the Finance Committee for an expenditure line item. And none of this procedure was followed through. This board has conducted committees without rule, without procedural conduct. And I oppose all of this nonsense. And look where we are now. We have elections again. This is mayhem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, name is Tom. If I was supposed to have received a ballot in the mail, none arrived.
Me either.
No, it was not.
They were just sent down.
You're confident. Not much you have to leave.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any patients, this is specific. It's kind of.
We're taking it personal.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. PMB reports, directors report. Grace?
Yes.
Use the microphone.
I want to thank Alan Beek for coming up with this solution to a problem that's longstanding. The finance committee.
PMB report.
Oh, PMB report, I'm sorry. The PMB, let Jan go first.
Okay.
So a couple of things are going on the national level. The most important thing is that our finances are a total wreck. And we are trying to, in every way, on a national level, to convene discussions about how to solve that problem. It's very difficult. We've had a couple of meetings. Some obtained quorum and some didn't obtain quorum. But this is a major problem that we're having. We're also in the midst of, I think it ended a day or two ago, is that right? The bylaw period of making bylaw amendments and the proposals, they end yesterday?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything posted yet.
I thought that the day was like August 20th or something. What?
I don't remember. I had a chance to look at the website.
At any rate, there have been quite a few proposed bylaw amendments that have come up, and the bylaws do need to be revised. But figuring out exactly what people can agree on is another problem. The biggest thing, the next biggest thing is beyond the, well, there's a couple more things. One is the audit committee. We have finished the 2014 audit, and that's really important, and somebody from the audit committee should give a report on that. But we have completed the 2014 audit, and then the 2015 audit needs to be started. And the elections, which we've all heard about, are going forward. And this shouldn't be big news to anybody, but after years of not having the elections when we should have had them, and then last year it was just barely got into them, this year I'm so happy to report that we're on the timeline at the bylaws state. And so people should be receiving their envelopes, there was a concerted effort by all members of the, virtually all members of the PNB to get the envelopes sent out in a colored envelope. A bright yellow envelope, which seems like a small thing, but for future reference, probably will help with quorum. So those are the main highlights without going into a lot of detail.
I have an important question. When is the audit, the 2014 audit, going to be finalized and released to the public?
I'm not sure. There's something that, I guess Myla can speak, but she's on the audit committee. I'm not on the audit committee. I think I'll leave it at that. Those are the highlights of what's been going on.
Myla, did you want to speak to me?
Can I just clarify with respect to the audit?
You got a minute for time,
Bob. Oh, thank you. Okay, so basically we're in the final stages of the audit, and the auditor has provided the audit committee with a draft, and the committee is in the process of submitting questions to the auditor, And then the committee will make a determination about whether or not to accept, I believe, the audit and to send those recommendations on to the PNB. And after that, the audited financial statements will be posted on the website of the Charitable Trust Division of the California Attorney General.
Thank you.
It gets posted on our website, too.
Cool. Great. Thank you.
I can give my report now. Yes, the foundation is in very serious financial condition. WPFW is failing, so is WBAI. We are, at KPFK, our income generation has decreased. KPFT and KPFA are just struggling to make ends meet. The CFO has told the national board that austerity measures alone will not fix the situation, that income improvement must be thought about and implemented. We have to have some way to improve our income. The most shocking thing from the last week or two is that even though we hurriedly approved the auditor report in the audit committee, our insurance for directors and officers was not extended except for 60 days on a temporary basis. So we are going to be losing, unless the executive director and CFO can find another insurance carrier, our insurance that protects the officers and directors. So that's a very serious matter. And it's really important that the national board function to figure out how to improve revenue. That's the most important thing. I believe that the bylaws amendments failed. I'm not totally certain. Maybe Michael can respond to that. But there was some, and there were some, there are some new bylaws amendments being put forward. That's all I
can
recall.
I can clarify about the insurance situation.
Does she still have time?
She's got 3 minutes.
Okay. So,
are we finished, or I'm not sure.
At the audit committee meeting, it was repeatedly told to us that we had to, the minutes had to reflect that we approved the audit, not the draft audit, but the audit. And the people on the committee repeatedly refused to take the word draft out. And they insisted on putting, keeping the word draft in because they were, it was a draft audit. So since they wouldn't take the word draft out, we've got what we've got.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And I'm on the audit committee. And to my recollection, that's not what occurred. That is not what the insurance carrier stated in the refusal, rejection of renewing the insurance. So that is not the case, I'm sorry, but there were a number of reasons. Primarily, even though the 2014 draft audit was approved, the 2015 audit wasn't done, and because of our dire financial situation, the insurance carrier didn't feel we were a good risk. It has a lot more to do than one little vote in the audit committee.
Okay, well, that's all I knew about.
Okay. Mentor, did you want to have a question?
I was going to ask the reasons, but you mentioned a couple of them.
Okay.
But I was going to mention.
I slept in my report.
Okay.
You can go first if you want.
Go ahead.
Right. I was just going to, another big problem that we were having with
could you bring the mic closer to
our getting our insurance approved is that the auditors think that what we need is a turnaround plan.
Hold it to your mouth.
All of the
Jonathan.
GMs.
Jonathan.
Hold it to your mouth.
Any of the
with
GMs.
Mr. Radio Professional.
Now hold it to your mouth. There you go.
Thank you. We've been talking about a turnaround plan at national meetings. Our CFO says that we desperately need one. Our CFO raises a lot of concerns that we get very little chance to hear is a big problem. We spend more time trying to approve the agenda than listening to what our chief financial officer has to say when he's trying to raise concerns about things like payroll and insurance and such. And again, there is no turnaround plan from any of the GMs that I am aware of. A financial turnaround plan that would show that we could stay in business until, August or September 2017, one of the other. And that's one of the big problems that we're having on a national level, that, and there's no adequate representation from WBAI. We still only have one director, Serene Roberts, and of course they're the two affiliate directors that don't actually belong, because there was questions as to the affiliates, and that's a problem. And that problem, is now it's coming up on September and new election season, and it could be a bigger problem. And right now our insurance doesn't cover us in the event of something like a bankruptcy. Not that we're in danger of bankruptcy or anything like that.
That's the end of the gracious 5 minutes. That's the end of the gracious 5 minutes.
Refusal of the insurance company and the request from the auditors was both for some plan that would demonstrate our capacity to continue operations. PNB did adopt a one step-by-step plan, the first step of which was getting the audit approved. The PNB directed that excess funds at any station be used for the completing the FY 2014 audit and the initial payment for the elections. That was basically carried out here by Leslie Radford, who took funds both from a bequest and other operating money from the station, even though they were not excess funds, as everybody's aware. We don't have excess funds anywhere in the network, but we did pay from KPFK for both the completion of the 2014 audit and for the initial payment for the mailing of the ballots for this year's election, so that we could stay on track and fulfill our commitments. The other thing that the PNB voted, there was a series of steps looking at possibly mortgaging some excess property and other measures, and those are still awaiting the completion of the audit to be able to carry those out. The board did adopt two measures that I put forward in the Finance Committee that were approved by the committee and then by the whole board, and that was to direct the local station boards and the members of the local station boards to assist in fundraising in two areas. One was to seek sustainer pledges for their stations, and the second was to try to identify individuals who would make short-term no-interest loans to the national office to carry out a national fundraising mailing. The mailing has been prepared and is awaiting some funds. And the idea is that the mailers will go out to people likely to donate to public radio, not necessarily our own previous donors, and with the option of the money going either to the national office or to the local station area in the areas that those are mailed to. And then as far as the amendments, bylaws amendments, the only one I know of for a fact that I think was at least got through the process of required six director support, and then would be considered in the process, is one I put forward to change the frequency of elections as an economy measure. Right now we have elections two out of every 3 years. The proposed amendment would say we would have elections every other year in odd numbered years, so that would reduce the frequency of elections by about a third. So in 6 years we would have four elections rather than nine or something. I can't remember the exact mathematics. So that will be up for consideration by the PNB and by the local boards and for approval. It would basically take effect at the beginning of 2019 and 2021. this election that's taking place now is a three-year election, and so in 2019 that group will be up for election, and the next scheduled election in 2018 that will still take place also for 3 years after that. It will be every other year.
Thank you.
Does he have still have
time?
He had a minute.
Okay.
He has a minute ago.
Go ahead.
So for 4 year terms, is that what I was saying?
Yeah.
Who designed the promo piece for this cold mailing? It's going to be cold to a list. We buy a list of people who are good targets that for public radio, and we send them a promo soliciting support. Who designed it? Is it a professional, or is it just someone on our staff who likes to draw?
I don't know completely. I think it was prepared out of the national office. They vetted it with some people, including people whose names we used for the promotion.
What? Who?
I don't have a complete answer for you. I don't know. I think it came out of the national office from the IED and other people there, and they're vetting it with other fundraisers. I don't have all the data.
We got 20 seconds left in the second.
Okay.
I can say something. Lydia showed us a stack of envelopes in her office that she said were for this fundraiser, but I don't know.
Okay. Point of information.
I do know.
Point of information. Who's
Jen,
us?
Jen knows it. Ken.
Oh, she showed you.
Jen knows.
Okay. Go ahead, Jen.
Go ahead.
Yes, I talked to Lydia about it, and Lydia was the person in charge of putting it together. And, you know, I had suggested that professionals had suggested to me sending out smaller samples of different ones, but she...
So... So your answer to me is it's out of Lydia's creativity.
Yes.
Lydia, the famous layout artist.
Okay, guys. Okay. You have your famous notoriety. We're finished with time on this. The treasurer's report is next. You can ask your questions when we have answers during the 50-minute hearing. So let's just move the agenda. And treasurer report is next.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
I think we got 2 minutes left in this whole set. Oh, we got the treasurer's report.
Yeah, treasurer's report.
Oh, sorry.
Refund.
Okay. I apologize to everybody that I sent out my draft treasurer's report at 7 a.m. this morning, but it's what it is. In any case, since I'm your treasurer and I sit on the National Finance Committee, I get documents from that committee, and I get things that you guys don't get to see. In any case, the latest consolidated financials I have from the National Finance Committee are as of June. We haven't gotten July's. We're generally a month behind the actual financials. So even though I should have July's financials, all the latest I have from the National Finance Committee is the June consolidated financial statements. I did get the KPFK station financials for June from Leslie, but it's in draft form. So some of the numbers that I have that I've gotten out of Leslie's report is she states that the bank balance as of August 20th is $71,119,000 in the bank account. She states that there's a $50,000 in a savings account. I don't know if we have multiple bank accounts or where that, or if that $50,000 is part of the normal bank account. But I want to. I have checked the bank balances since I'm working with Jen on. I have bank statements. I'm working with Jen on analyzing bank statements for the station. I have confirmed bank balances from previous months, but I don't have, obviously, the current month. GM has reported that staff is now back at 100% salary, and I estimate that will increase our monthly operating costs by about $20,000. I'll have to check that on the financials when I start getting them. Looking at the last 9 months of financials, our normal monthly operating expenses are averaging about $227,000 a month. And our income
has been averaging about $223,000 a month. So our expenses are slightly above our income. So at this point in time, as of the latest financials I have, our profit and loss, or basically we have $104,000 profit at this point. So we're not our station doesn't have a deficit, but then we're just one business unit of the seven within Pacifica. In our aging report, our debt level at this point is $421,665. And that's mostly, most of that is actually central services that are in arrears. The rest are premiums.
Can you break that down?
I can't break it down at this moment, but you should have gotten the aging report from Leslie in her report this month. But about, I know that the, and the arrears on the central service is about $250,000. So that's about 60% of the debt is central services.
So more premium debt now.
And that's actually central services from 2015, not from this year. We are current as of 2016. And basically, I want to reiterate what Jan and Grace have been saying, that basically, KPFA is just maintaining its financial status quo in the fund drives. We're not in good shape. We're not making enough to pay down any of our long-term or even short-term debt. One of the things I want to complain about is we're not, the general manager is not sending out any of the documentation on the fund drives. I have to keep on asking her for fund drive information. Am I running out of time?
You've got about 10 seconds.
Okay, so I'll try. You know, that's my main complaint is I would like to get fund drive information, current fund drive information as it's coming in. I cannot verify her statement in her report about the average fund drive being income being $25,000 a day.
Frank, can you get that from Terry Guy? Membership?
Yes. He can.
Well, that would mean I would have to go into the station to get that information.
Oh, I see.
It should be sent out electronically to the. If I get it, I'll send it out electronically to the entire board.
The PD is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you. Okay. Any questions for Brad?
So our premium debt. So our premium debt is like tripled. Am I hearing that? It was like 50,000. Now it's well over.
No,
it's about 70,000-80,000 is what I'm hearing.
Can I answer it? Our aging report. Looking at the aging reports going back 6 months, our station debt is above $400,000 a month. It's been going up and down to about $20,000.
He said 40% of the debt was premium and 60% was central service.
Is that what you said? That 40% of the debt is premium and 60% is central service?
No, that's not what he said.
And actually, that's how it breaks down, correct.
So
most of it is central service debt from 2015.
Right.
See?
Yeah, it's about $250,000 we owe to the national office. At this point.
Correct.
But I looked at yourself briefly. But the premiums, like George was saying, would be about $150,000 of that. And I think it's less than $100,000 at least at our station.
Yeah.
It's like
$15,000 and $70,000.
What is it?
$15,000 and $70,000? It fluctuates between about $50,000 and $70,000.
Yeah, I think that's where we're looking on the premium. Is that correspond to what you got?
Leslie came here a few months ago to the LSB and asked to make a private loan of about $80,000 to close out the premium debt.
Yeah.
And evidently she wasn't able to get that loan, from my understanding.
Does anybody have any knowledge about her working on that? Something discussed with Leslie.
Brought out here 2 months ago.
I can answer that.
Okay, well, I still think that's a good idea.
Yes.
I think that's what we really need, but I'll discuss that when we get to the fundraising.
I think
Roberta? Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me? I do listen to the finance committees online. I guess I'm a masochist. But I was under the I clarified that the Sam referenced certain payments every month now that are going to Amy Goodman. It was clarified that has to do with our past due charges that had accrued over several years with her, although apparently we're not getting current.
We've come to office RN, we're not paying anything to Amy Goodman.
I'm just wondering, does any amount of those payments that I believe come out of central services come into affecting the station budget?
Well, of course it does.
That's what I'm trying to get the number.
Okay,
just to clarify, the reference he made was to some money that was in the budget for FSRN, not for Democracy Now. We're not paying anything currently to Democracy Now whatsoever, and haven't for 2 years. So yes, the way the National Office budget works is the National Office comes up with a figure of what it needs to carry out its operations and what income it has from other sources, which include the sidebands and communications channels that go on and fundraise business. So the difference between the necessary budget and what it has coming in from other sources has to be made up by central service payments from the stations. The problem is that although WBAI was pegged at an 8% instead of a 15% central service obligation on its listener support, it hasn't made any payments whatsoever this year. WPFW hasn't been able to make payments. Several of the stations have been able to make payments to cover their own workers' insurance. All the money's been coming out of the national office, and it can't continue.
Okay.
Can I jump in on that also? And, you know, even though KPFK is current for 2016 on central services, we owe $250,000 from 2015. That's basically about 6 months' worth from 2015. And we owe a major amount of money to the national office, which inhibits them from doing things like paying for the audits.
And one last question. Leslie in her report said that everybody is back to 100%, which is good. Does that imply that we're back in, I know she hasn't publicly announced that the union has been settled, whatever that case was, but there was their agreement on to what the numbers were, even if they haven't been made public. And will those numbers be immediate? I'm just whatever those numbers might be. Do those immediately go to affected employees or under a payroll account, or is it some sort of settlement account that is different?
I can't speak for Leslie. I mean, that's management knows that information, but I would assume with the negotiations with the union, we owe a big hunk of money to the staff.
Thank you. That's all. I hope that number will at least be made public at some point. Christian?
Fred. Couple questions. What financial institution does KPFK do business with, like the two accounts, the operating account and the savings account, you know?
That's a question I was asking. If we in the past, Pacifica had something like 24 different bank accounts spread out between all the different business units. I don't know if that has been. Sam has talked about simplifying that. I don't know what the status is at KPFK.
This question is Bank of America, Wells Fargo.
Bank statements that I've seen are all Bank of America.
Okay. And also, did you happen to get a tally on the town hall? There was any funds that came out?
That's a problem because I have the bank statements. I saw the Bella's accounting for that town hall, but I can't find
any
deposits.
We did not have a town hall. Please do not speak live. We had an event.
Please deal with the audience.
They should call it a town hall, Bella. Don't interrupt.
It is not a town hall.
Public comment. It's
not a town hall.
Okay. The problem is that I can't find any deposits in the time frame in the bank statements.
Well,
I don't know where that money was deposited, but supposedly that event raised $8,133. And it should be someplace.
An expenditure?
I will address that.
I'm sorry?
An expenditure of that event?
No, I'm talking about just looking at deposits.
Okay.
I can't find the deposit.
I will address.
We'll address that. We'll refer. Thank you for it, Charles. And then that was it. Okay.
I believe at our last LSB meeting, we passed a motion directing the IED to redirect funds to address Brian Schaefer's departure in an attempt to secure his continued employment. And I'm under the impression that he did in fact leave. Do we know if that attempt was made or what the current state of the archives management is in terms of retaining our relationships with the various university grants?
It'd be nice if the ED or the general manager were here to answer those questions.
Okay. Any other questions? Who was it?
Or are you raising your hand?
Jonathan?
All right. I just want to get clarification. So you're saying that the premium debt at this point is $160,000. Is that what you're saying?
My understanding is $80,000. Or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Speaking to the mic, Dorothy.
If you're saying that we owe $400,000 and 40% of it is the premium, that's not $80,000, that's $160,000.
I haven't done the... I may have calculated the percentages wrong.
Okay.
I think we also owe money to KPFA for something from last year.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, public comments.
I have a mild review to the chair. Can you hold the mic, chair?
It's on.
Mild review. First of all, I want to congratulate the whole board for being quite civil, with one exception, which I'm going to talk about now. With respect to the decorum that we that the board voted on last month's minutes and voting in the majority to include items of disturbance into that minute. I want to address the chair now with this very mild rebuke, saying that you should, chair, rebuke anybody here who is uncivil. And specifically, I want to refer to Ken Ahrens' outburst disparaging remark of Pacificus IED. He said in an outburst when he did not have the floor.
10 seconds.
Lydia, the famous layout artist, I believe you have a responsibility to keep order. And that is my comment.
Thank you for your comment.
And Bella here again. I want to explain that there, for when I worked on the 2014 fiscal year audit that I prepared, we had 5 bank accounts. Three of them, in fact, were dedicated to hold, like holding bins. They were holding bins for specific fundraisers, i.e. the one with Sonali, there was one for a Sonal panel, there was one for XYZ. And they became moribund, except they were holding funds. The issue was how to reconcile those funds and bring them into either the savings account or the banking checking account. So actively, we have 2 accounts, the checking with B of A and the savings account. And if you, Fred, had been working on the bank accounts, you would have seen that right away. So I want to also stress that we owe monies to the national office, which should not be misconstrued with how well we have been paying down the premiums, which were caused through 2015 before the current GM came into office. And that's never talked about. So when you look at the aging, you can see how rapidly we are reducing those numbers. Okay, the other thing is $2,000 were collected via credit card for that event. And you should know that, Fred, because that was explained to you even on the spreadsheet I gave you. So you should see a deposit in increments of $35, $36, $44, whatever was collected from the couples or individuals leading up to $2,000. Then the $8,156 is funds given directly with receipt to the GM. Whether she put it in the savings account, you obviously don't know that there's one. Look it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
And we just raised $2,000 more for another event. So, okay.
All right. Just to finish my comment that I started in my last speech on the minutes regarding the disturbance. I think if you just retained the first sentence of the first paragraph and the last paragraph, the second paragraph, it would have been perfect. You don't need to go into that much detail about the disturbance, but I reported on disturbances when I was a secretary. I don't like this prejudicial language that a member exacerbated the melee. I mean, exacerbate is a judgmental word. I mean, you can say someone intervened and without saying whether they were destructive or constructive and all that kind of stuff. And also, in old business, there are a couple of motions related to the expanded Spanish language program by Charles and Grace, and two different motions. And since the program's been instrumental, these two motions may be out of date. I mean, they require things which are that already happened. So you may want to amend them to just the parts that require, you know, reviewing the programming. But and also, Ian Masters had a special book, and I got it in the mail, so I am getting my treatment. So if you ordered that book that Ian Masters personally bought about politics in the Middle East, I got my copy, so be confident that you'll get yours, okay?
Good.
Thank you. Any other public comments? All right. Old business.
Don't you have a committee report?
Oh, sorry, guys. Committee report.
You really need a shot of something.
I was hoping you guys didn't notice that job. Committee report. Who's that? Fundraising.
Okay,
Dorothy.
I guess we're
going to see. All right. So we had a meeting, and we had three things that we were recommending. First, we wanted to ask the GM for the names of all of the celebrities who are doing these promos, which really promote themselves on our airwaves. And we want to, I don't know if they're going to give us the contact information. We would love that, but we really want to get their names, and then we can try to go on that the SAG website and try to get their contact information ourselves, because we have access to that. So, and we wanted to see if we could use them as a source of getting these loans that we're looking for to pay off the premiums and whatever.
Without interest.
Yeah, the no interest loans or donations or whatever. The second thing is that we talked about going to the archives and looking there. Steve Kaiser brought a list of specific topics that he worked really hard on. And we suggested that we work with Mark Torres to see what is available at the archives to make packages, premium packages, on the different topics that we could use as premiums as opposed to going out and paying a lot of money for premiums. And Bella offered to work with Mark Torres on that. And then he also brought, which is very interesting, a survey that he has spent a lot of time creating for outreach to LAP members. We would like to get the GM to give us contact information while we're at the station so that we can call them and reach out to them and see if we can't get some of these people back. So Steve brought us copies of the survey. I think that he worked really hard on it. He wanted to have 5 minutes to talk to you about it.
All right, Steve.
There you go. Okay, thank you. I think that we really have our salvation in front of us. We're just not recognizing it. This first handout is, it's a group of 60. Does everybody have enough copies?
Yes.
Well, there's another survey going. There's one for the survey and one of the premium packages that has this illustration on the back. But anyway, the thing is that, and the reason that I have this media thing on the back here, these are the gigantic Zaibatsus that determine what we think for the most part in this country and worldwide. And the reason that we have a really excellent niche here that we're just not fully exploiting, and that's in bringing the truth out to the populace in general. Because these Zaibatsus talk the same. They say the same thing. Sometimes they're using the same words. We're different. We own our own rear end so far, if we can come up with the money to save ourselves. And I think what we need to do is examine topics and develop production, well-produced pieces that address these topics so that we have all-star hitters like The Great Lies of History has made us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So is capitalism. So is the untold history of the United States. And these are some ideas, and I want to thank people that have given me feedback on this to come up with this list. These are 60 ideas that I came up with. We don't need 60. We need a dozen, maybe two dozen. And actually, I think that the premium list that we have in the computer is way overblown. I think Terry Guy told me it was up to 200 items we have in there. And that itself clogs it down. We need to clear that out. We need to handle things that will be all-star hitters, that gets people to get off their butts, phone us up, give us $60 up to $360, because the reason they do that, it's an act of love. They could go to YouTube, they could do their own research, but they're coming to us. And that's because they trust us. They've been listening to us for years, and we've been trying to tell them the truth as well as we can. There's more truth that we can get out there, and this is an opportunity to really make some all-star, hit it out of the park, home runs, and bring us thousands of dollars. Not only here, but nationwide to preserve Pacifica. So that's my illustration on that. My name, email, and phone number at the bottom. Please give me negative and positive feedback on this. And I thank again all the people that helped me create this list.
On this?
Yes.
It's just on the
back.
It's on the back.
On the back.
Oh, okay.
There you go. All right, I want to warn you in advance, Sandy, you'll have to turn over the paper on the next illustration also. Okay. So that's something that, I mean, these are the seeds I think that are saving us. We have great information. We have people out there that they don't have time. They listen to it on the radio. They trust what we do in the way of research and production of these things. And they'll pay us the money to get these premiums because they feel like they're getting truth.
Yeah.
They're getting a slant on things that isn't like living in a matrix like we've been doing for quite some time. So I'm very big on this. Give me feedback on that. And let's get some more all-star, out-of-the-park home run hitters produced. And let's stop whining and crying in our beer. And let's get off our asses and stay in Pacifica.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm getting a little worked up on this. I'm sorry, Mars conjunct my ascendant, so I get worked up. Okay, the second thing. We need to find out why our former subscribers have left us. We have like over 15,000, maybe 25,000 people that have sent us money in the past, and they're not doing that today. What I think we need to do is to call them up. And that's what this is about. It's a former subscriber survey, and that's the first volley. We need to ask them, and we only need to ask them 7 questions. This is scalable. And I did, I thank you, Dorothy, for all the time I put in on this, but this I did put some time in on. I was on the internet trying to find other surveys or radio stations and what they did. So this is a scalable thing. We need to ask these people, and I want to promote this on the air and let them know we're coming. We're going to call them up and ask them 7 questions. So 7 at the top. When and where you listen, what do you like, what do we need more of, what don't you like, what do we need less of, and what's the one thing you would change? And I like that last question because that will define their relationship with KPFK, that one question, one thing they would change. Now, depending on how they are and if they open up, we can talk about more things. If they're comfortable and the conversation's going well, we can open up and talk about their preferred programming. Now, we have 2 columns here. The one on the left is what they spontaneously come up with, because that will get the actual truth out of somebody. It's what they mentioned. I says, oh, I'm concerned about crime and justice. I need emotional healing techniques. I'm interested in repairing the environment. What a great idea that is. So this is what they say. Now, and then I want to rate it on a +3 to -3 scale to get the strength of their feelings on that. Now, on the other side, this is when we ask them. If they're opening up, we can go on down this and ask them about their opinion on these different topics. So we get the spontaneous, honest, raw, and unvarnished truth on the left, and then we get something where we ask them, and they may not be so spontaneous, but we get the feedback about what they feel about those issues and if they want programming on these issues. And now, on the other side, is getting into the music that we play. And it seems like a good idea. We can get a good idea what sort of music listeners they are about the time of the music, the era that's most preeminent. Like with me, I would say the 60s, and then the 70s, and then the tie between the 50s and the 80s. Jonathan.
Well, two things real quickly. Well, you left off...
Okay, hang on, because I got the questions coming.
Go ahead.
Jonathan, you'll be first if you can keep this here, Myla and Charles.
We have someone else running the meeting. You're just...
Okay, thank you, Myla, for that clarification. All right, let me finish this real quick. Again, it's the same sort of scale. What they volunteer and what we ask them about. And at the bottom has comments. And it would be nice to get their email address because we can create a separate database for these former listeners and have programs that periodically, tastefully go back to them in a non-invasive way. And again, this is -3 to +3. And basically, this is the beginning. This is the first survey. I want to go to our current surveys after we do this. And I'd like to do this between fund drives. We've got a fund drive now. We got another one, I think, coming up in October. And between those times, we can get some phone room volunteers. We've got a great group of people doing that. We need more of the LSB members down there doing that. And then we can go into our current subscribers, and we'll have a factual basis on determining what our programming should be. Instead of being haphazard about this, whether it's something of the national board to determine, or the local manager, or the program director, I think we need something more substantive to make judgments on.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That was time for the second.
I think Jonathan was first. I'm sorry.
Okay, I think that's time for that.
Move we extend
Those are not set in stone. We could change the topic, just ones right. I came up with.
But more importantly, telemarketing is great. I did telemarketing a lot, and it's not great. It's horrible. What we could do is just have an online web survey. We do this between now and November. There would be like about 1,000 polls done online. It's not that hard to make a web page with a survey. We had one once upon a time. We could pay a company to do it, but that costs money, and we don't have money.
Right. This is free.
Right.
That's
but
what I love
I think
about.
There's a way to get it done with on our website with maybe little or no cost.
If we had a reach for people to fill it out.
I have the web. I have the survey.
Okay. Lots of members might not go there.
You can do both, right?
Yeah.
That's
sure.
That phone and you can do the online. I think it makes sense.
Myla, Charles, Fernando, Steve.
Myla, Charles, Fernando, Steve, Jennifer, Pine, James.
Okay, I want to double down on what Jonathan just said. I think that people don't really like being called, but I think that people really do like to respond to online surveys and have an opportunity to weigh in. And I think that this can definitely be tweaked in terms of types of programming, and I would like to pull, I know that people pledge, they don't always pledge for all of the programs that they like and listen to. They have limited budgets and can only pledge for certain programs. So I would like to ask people in this online poll. I mean, we can go over what it will be. I don't think that we can really work that out now. A lot of the details, if there's a committee or some people would actually like to work on this, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Charles?
I think this is an incredible idea, and but the first step we need to do to make this work is to compile a database of our former subscribers and hopefully their email addresses so
right
that we can reach them via email rather than although perhaps we should try and get both forms of outreach.
I think we got something.
We have it.
Sharon, excuse me, may I say something? We're speaking over here about that data that you're referring to, Charles, that we have. We don't have access to our member data. We do not have telephone numbers. The Pacifica network does not allow the local stations to have that information. On our own database, with our own histories of what people have done, who are the former, we don't have it.
We have current subscribers. We don't have old subscribers. We called old subscribers last year.
Yeah. Yeah. The after station, a whole bunch of us came in between the guys and called many people.
So why have we asked that so we can send out our own information, get in touch with our own listeners the way we should in order to do long-term fundraising?
Only at the station. Hey, guys, let's just make sure if it's something that Steve needs for the survey and we have access to it, we'll make sure that we get it in whatever order. So, I mean, I think that's the solution. Who's next?
Fernando. First of all, I want to thank, I don't have enough words to thank Steve for. I don't have words, enough words to thank Steve for such a wonderful job.
Glad you guys
won. I don't care how many differences of opinion I have with any one of you. I applaud my man's initiative here, and I think we need to follow that example. What I also need to tell you is that in Southern California, there's been 18 to 20 million people living, and not necessarily every single one belongs to the middle class. Most of them do not.
Right.
And by following this example, we can also include the overwhelming majority of the people who live in the southern part of the state and make them part of our single area, make them part of our programming, and get some of their money.
Okay, thank you. Time on this segment, if someone wants to make a motion to extend. We have two people in the queue.
Motion to extend for 3 minutes.
Okay, second?
Second.
All those in?
Okay. Okay. Steve Pride.
Okay, Stephen Jan.
Really quickly, I think it's brilliant. I applaud you for doing this. My only caveat is the same concern I had last year when you were calling members, that we not use during an election cycle the LSB members who are running during this cycle to call out, hi, my name is so-and-so, I appreciate you. Can you talk to me about reserves, whatever,
yeah,
not whatever.
Very
this
good
should
good
be extended.
Good,
yeah. Yeah.
Good point, Steve and Dan. Good point.
I disagree with the idea that we should do this only online. I think online...
He says all
that. Okay. Both.
Okay, because old subscribers are not going online.
No, exactly. Right. We should do both.
I want to say one more thing. That our committee was fantastic. There were, I think Steve was there, and Michael, and me, and Bella, and
Rob Macon.
Yeah. And Rob has some ideas, too, that we haven't gotten.
Myla and Jan have come before, too.
And I just want to say the meeting that we had was fantastic. We acted like human beings. We spoke to each other. We didn't have to make stacks. There were no points of information. There were no points of personal privilege, none of that. We just had a discussion, and we decided what we were going to do. And we decided to bring it to the board, and we're going to do it. And I would like to see more committees at KPFK behave that way. We're all one team, and we all want to work together. We may not agree on everything, but my God, you know, having to have a stack for three people to talk to each other is insane.
Yeah, I want to thank Michael Novak and Dorothy Reich in particular for what they're doing on the fundraising committee. Their feedback.
30 seconds.
Thank you, guys. Wonderful, wonderful. I've seen that kind of work done. Finance committee. Who's finance?
You'll get
the
chance.
Fred,
do you need
a report?
I'm really not prepared.
It's okay. You can
start there.
Same, I think for finance.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Again, we met, I believe it was August 7th or August 10th. Our main problem was that our general manager didn't attend our meeting and couldn't answer any of our questions. So it's really hard to hold to do a finance meeting without getting data and information, being able to get that information. Roberta was there. Did we have a motion for the LSB to pass today, or
no?
Okay. I think that's the main thing I wanted to put forth is when management doesn't meet with governance, things don't happen.
Can you
microphone?
Yes. I'm on.
Can you speak to whether or not the general manager has submitted a proposed budget for 2017.
She has, June 30th, she did submit a draft budget, but we've asked her to resubmit it because she admits there's a number of items in there around payroll and other things that are not correct and that will have to be modified as to the negotiations.
May I just follow up and ask if you have suggested to the general manager, who I believe has been asking in the committee for guidance, that she might seek that guidance more appropriately from the CFO of Pacifica rather than from our committee?
I put that in my treasurer's report today that that the budget is in the domain of management. It's not a government function. We don't have enough information to even generate a draft budget. That it would be appropriate for the general manager to consult with her boss and with the CFO on those matters. It's not our bailiwick to generate a budget. It's a management plan for operation in the future in terms of financial resources and staffing and human personnel resources. That's the domain of management.
Okay. I think that's time for the segment.